This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 21st of March, 1962. The title of this lecture is Prep Checking, Zero Question. This tape is 49 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Vernal Equinox. Earth colony of the Markab Confederacy. Space Command. Planet 5. Let's be factual. Stop this nonsense. Year of the Fox. Time tracks. Okay. 21 March, for those earthlings that don't understand. 8012. All right, I'm going to give you a talk right now on the subject of an experimental method of establishing zero questions in prep checking. The first value of this particular method is that it relieves you from a lot of fish around at the beginning of a case, and it also removes you out of those zones and areas which you're liable to be in, which the PC doesn't consider overts, but which you do. In other words, it takes you out of the zones of sec checking which, although you think they should be getting someplace, aren't really getting any place, and the PC isn't really getting any big gains, and so forth. In other words, you can prep check, you understand, on standard social aberrations that you consider social aberrations that the PC doesn't, and get a lot of withholds on this subject, which doesn't do the PC any good at all. You understand? Now, you are entitled to a tremendous amount of win and a tremendous amount of gain in any prep check session. And I ask you, first and foremost, to put your sights up on the subject of what ought to happen to a PC in any one prep check session. Now, true enough, under training, your sessions go 2 hours. In actual professional practice, they are much more likely to go 5.5, or thereabouts. On a 5.5-hour session on a prep check, if you don't wind up with a tremendous resurgence on the part of the PC by reason of prep checking and so forth, you just don't know your business. Now, of course, you can't always win. Don't expect to win always. But what do I mean by a win? You understand the PC better. You know more about the mind. This is from the auditor's point of view. The PC has made some part of his goals and has made some progress. Now, that's your minimal expectancy, and if you've made that expectancy, fine. Dandy. Call it a win. PC got some cognitions and knows more about himself and knows more about life and is better in session. Yeah, that's a nice win. That's nice. PC's gotten over something, which he's always had around. That's a little bit phenomenal. That's a big win type thing. You don't expect those every session. But you expect one of these minimal wins, certainly, every session. And it ought to look pretty good. And you, after a week's prep checking of 5.5 hours a day on a PC, you ought to be sitting there looking at almost a different being. Well, I mean, this PC should look different to you. I can generally prep check up to changing the color of their eyes in a 5.5-hour session. Generally. But how do you know whether a prep check session is running? The tone arm moves. Just like any other process, Ole. Just like any other process. If the tone arm, it man move, you make progress. Yeah. And if she don't move, I don't care how juicy the quality is. I don't care how marvelous this would sound from the pen of Lawrence. Or how forbidden and banned it would be in Boston. You're not making any progress. Just as in any activity, the movement of the tone arm gives you the degree of change on the PC. Now, you saw a tone arm moving last night in a demonstration session on the subject of 3D, crisscross, and you saw that tone arm flicking about, but only going from about 2.8 to about 3.25 or something like that. There was an between-session break rise to 4, but that didn't have anything to do with the processing. See? And that was only about a quarter of a division. And you saw the old man choke it down to a point where he could get one read that there weren't any more, and you saw him get out of there, man, like hurry, and say that was the end of the list, and now we're going to null this list, and the PC's still saying, but there's some more items, and then the old man said, that's that good, I know there are, thank you very much, well, you can give me those in due course. All this kind of understanding, we're going on a null list, crash. Why? PC giving you a list that only moves that much. You're not on a very hot list. Now, the next list, long list line, is going to be hotter. The op terms are maybe going to be hotter and so forth, but that list wasn't hot. Did you see that? Yeah. You saw me bail out of there, man. I'll actually leave questions unflat if in the process of a 4 or 5 hours or something like that, we've got no TA motion on the PC. It isn't moving. He's giving us data. Isn't moving. Get out of there. Skip it. Don't argue with yourself that you've re-stimulated anything. You couldn't have. No TA motion. See how simple that is? And when you're prep checking, if you don't get a well, let's take the minimum amount, a half a division from 3 to 3.5 to 3 type of swing back and forth, half a division swing. Well, I'd say that would be absolute minimum that you would tolerate in a prep check session. You couldn't be mining anything very hot if you weren't getting a tone arm motion. Couldn't be. That's no excuse to go off and leave it because it's only moving a quarter of a dial. But after you've been at it for 2 hours and it has only moved a quarter of a division on the dial, oh, come off of it. We must be mining asphalt from a solid bank of asphalt, which has nothing to do with anything the PC ever found out about. That's for sure. The amount of case progress is directly proportional to the amount of tone arm motion. Now, a two-division motion in the course of a two-hour session, that's a lot of motion. 3.5 to 4.5 to 4 to 3 to 5 to 4. Oh, my God. Wow! See? We're mining with both hands all day and all night, you see? Up to our necks in the roaring stream, you see? Breakers busting all around us, you know? 4 comes in at 4, goes down to 3.75 during the beginning rudiments, goes to 3.9, goes to 3.8, goes to 4, goes to 3.8, goes to 3.9, goes to 3.75, goes to 3.9, and this goes on for 2 hours. Well, I don't have anything to do with us. Well, does it? Couldn't have. PC isn't getting anything off, has anything to do with his case. He couldn't, because it's not changing any mass. Now, there isn't any interval of time specified for which you ought to look for this motion, because sometimes it goes on like this for an hour, and then all of a sudden you start to get tonar motion, don't you see? Well, that's fine. But I'd say if you went on for the whole session, there was no tonar motion. And at the end of the session, I mean, the next time you pick this thing up, I'd do something else. Couldn't have restimulated the case, that's for sure. It's on any no line that he has anything to do with. You see, this all comes under the heading. This is brand new. This is brand new. This is auditing. This is a brand new way of audit. Auditing by the auditor's code. You run a process only so long as it produces change and no longer. Therefore, you're guilty of running a process which is producing no change. You shouldn't do that. Well, that's how you judge it. That's how you know whether it is going or not going, as the case may be. So, is there any remedy? Because the amount of tonar motion in prep checking is directly proportional to the auditor hitting the chain the PC is trying to avoid. Isn't that interesting? So if the amount of tonar motion is directly proportional to what the PC is trying to avoid, if the auditor hasn't got any directional bearings, assistance, toward what the PC is trying to avoid, they'll both sit there and avoid. One thing. And then we find the auditor walking around in this little duck pond I was talking about. Yeah. Oh, he really found something. He saw a goldfish. Now, therefore, many methods of assessment could be expected. Many methods of assessment could be expected to be developed, which would orient what prep check question to ask and what prep check question not to ask. And the one which I'm giving you is just one of these methods. You've got the scale already. It's the secondary prehab scale for overts. Overt, secondary prehab scale. I'll edit it and publish it again, but it's right now available. It exists. You probably got it. Scale for overts. And what you do is take your ballpoint in hand and run a standard prehab type assessment on that secondary scale. You do an assessment by elimination on that secondary scale. And you'll find you're left there with one that is ticking faintly or banging largely. Very simple. Huh? All right, well, you've got that item now. Now, the funny part of it is that you... This is not necessarily the way this thing goes together, but I'll just give you a rundown on it. You do a dynamic assessment now on the PC. That gives you a terminal of sorts. Now you take that overt and that terminal and combine them into a zero question. And it's hot the whole way. It won't make any sense to you. For a while, it might not make any sense at all to the PC, but that's why. See? That's what the PC is trying to avoid. It's dusting. The overt, let's be corny about it. Oh, the overt we find is dusting. And the dynamic assessment that we do on the thing, we get fences. Six dynamic, and it falls out to be fences. Dusting fences. And I guarantee that the PC will consider that about the most awful overt he can do. Why? We care not. But every time he's dusted a fence, he's practically plowed himself in. And he's always dusting fences. And what this has got to do with the price of overts, Lord knows what this goes back to. But it'll steer into some wild concatenation of events of some kind or another that will be quite aberrative and will give you quite a lot of tonar motion. Well, you find out he dusted a fence day before yesterday. You run this. This is the actual one. You've still got to get this what question. See? Have you ever dusted any fences? You know, that's your zero. Now, you fished around and found an actual fence. See? And so forth. Your what question can almost repeat the zero questions when this goes, but you didn't put it down until you found the actual incident. It's what about dusting small fences is your what question. And you got the, you didn't put that down. You actually found him dusting a fence. It was day before yesterday, and he did dust a fence. Now you'll find that tone arm will rock around, and it looks like Big Ben. Round and round, man. Quite amazing. Well, you pan that thing out, it's liable to go backtrack on you. So what? The reason I redesigned the withhold system with a pier in it was so that it would run a backtrack incident if you ran into it. I didn't want you to be running backtrack incidents when you might stick the PC in them. But this pier, particularly if you also run it as not a pier, alternately. You know, you go when, all, appear, who, when, all, didn't appear, who. See. It'll knock out engrams. It'll blast them out of existence. So that's fine. You'll get the PC stuck anyplace on the track. And you'll find the PC will scoot all around. It sounds pretty wacky. Now, that it can be, this has a liability, that it can be wacky will sometimes wind you up in some kind of a situation where you've done a bad assessment. That has happened, you see. A poor pre-have assessment. And poor pre-haves assessment are more frequent than you would ordinarily suspect. They're quite frequent. They're accidentals. Because a pre-have assessment is a very precisely done action, and lately we haven't been doing very many of them, and you don't get much practice in doing one. And of course the way you do this is just to read the items over to the PC. He just sits there, and you don't put the rudiments in halfway down the list. You don't run having this halfway down the list. It's on what I've seen lately on the phone. You don't do anything. If the PC fell out of the chair and snored, you'd still go on doing it because it'll still register on the meter, oddly enough. You're not auditing a body, you're auditing a thing. All right, you go right on down the thing and you just read each item once, pow, 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 pow. You don't read the item helped. Controlled. No, it's controlled. And then look at your E meter a minute or so later. Hey, don't do that way. You don't look at the PC at all. You just do bark, 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 bark. It only If that thing isn't reacting, you see, it isn't reacting. You're going to be able to tell that in a quarter of a second, so devil with it. It actually saying "and" between them is too long. Helped and controlled, that's too long to wait between them. You just go right down, you read the whole list, bark, 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 one each. And you mark in every one that it looked like it reacted. Instantaneous reaction, you mark that in. Put a mark after it. You only mark those that reacted. You leave the rest of them out. And then you go down those you marked only. And you only mark those that now react. And then you go over the remaining ones. There's only maybe three reacted. And you go over those three. Sometimes you're left with two and one reacts and then the other one reacts. And it takes a moment or two reading one and then reading the other and so on. And you're left with it. And then you check nothing. You don't do another thing, and that is why you can get a lousy mess, because sometimes you check it and become unsure of it, or you don't know, or your last two readings are bad, or something, and you start quivering, and the only reason you ever do a bad pre-hab assessment is because you quiver and doubt somewhere along the line. You'd have to do those assessments boldly, brashly, and come what may. And maybe the PC got some incidental reads on something else. He thought of something else, and you got a read, and that made it look like one of them read, don't you see? Well, that's all right. You'll get it by elimination anyway. And you usually are down to two, and you have to read one against the other, and you could see that they're both reacting. There's not much question in your mind. And one of them drops out and leaves the last one. You only read it once. You can read it maybe two more times to see if it reacts. But it wouldn't matter, because if it stopped reacting on those two more times, doesn't mean you've got it wrong. The primary cause of a bad pre-hab assessment is the auditor's doubt of what he's seeing on the meter, the lack of boldness and brashness. This is one of those slap-happy, go-to-hell, flat-out sort of actions. You know, this one you do... There's nothing to one. But you start hunting around and being a little bit doubtful and trying to keep the PC awake while you're doing it and being super checking and super careful about the whole thing, and you wind up in the soup every time. The PC kind of goes out of session. It's a remarkable thing how a PC will stay in session at a brisk machine gun pre-hab assessment. You see, auditors get all kinds of things. The PC all of a sudden pop up and say, you know, I'm still thinking about startle. The auditor's liable to do something about it or something like that. The auditor's liable to say, well, thank you, and go on with the assessment. That's perfectly all right. I don't usually say, I just say, shut up. He isn't supposed to be talking. What you talking for? Let's see, where were we? But he only starts to help you if you look helpless. And if you want to get an auditor that gets PCs wildly out of session, why, always train the auditor to believe that the PC should help him. And then, of course, the auditor will look helpless. No. An auditor doesn't even have to exist in the level of help as far as operating helpfully or something of the sort. If an auditor just operated briskly and interestedly, you find out the rudiments will stay in. You can almost take help out of the soup. PC says, let me see, I don't know, let me see what date. I'll come off of it. What date is it? You don't help him, but tell him to give you what date it is, you know. Well, let's see if you can find out what date that is. Let's see. Let's help him out and so forth. Of course, and then this immediately is liable to go into being helpless, you know. Like, well, let's see. Now, if you think about it there, I'll read on the meters here. And you think about it while I read on the meter, and then we'll find out. And so forth. Help me out here. I never act helpless when I'm auditing a PC, because he's the one that wants the help. I don't. And there's where pre-have assessments go completely by the boards, because the auditor acts unsure. And that's actually the only reason pre-have assessments ever turn up as very wrong. It's just the auditor is mucky, you know, and he hasn't got much practice in doing it. Well, you can always do a pre-have assessment on somebody, so you can always practice this thing. Now, you do this secondary overt list. You do that as you would do any other pre-have scale. But you have to do it briskly, surely, snappily, on the ball-ly. Then PC sits there and he doesn't go out of session. He knows. Yeah, that's right. Bang. He got it. See? That's the way you handle it. But you start going, well, let's see, you know, is it kill or wrong or is fun? How's your hattiness? You see, you're not assessing the PC's analytical mind anyhow. That's why you tell him to shut up and you get along much better. You're not assessing him analytically, you're assessing him reactively. And of course, he hasn't any control over the reactive mind or he wouldn't have one. So the more monkey business occurs around there, why, the more analytical mind gets dragged into the setup. You see, and the further out that assessment can go. Well, that'd be one of the reasons it failed, and the other one would be a bad dynamic assessment. Going too esoteric on the thing. The way you do dynamic assessment, of course, just read the dynamics to the person and see which one changes the needle pattern. If you got two, put down two and assess two items. Then assess the two items one against each other. All right, so you get second dynamic, dandy. What would represent the second dynamic to you? And he gives you a few items, and you put those down. Well, assess them. Simple. What represents second dynamic to me? Oh, coffins. Good. That'd be an almost usual response. If that's really a nutty dynamic, the guy will give you something that hasn't anything to do with it every time. Give me something on the sixth dynamic, girls. The person who assesses out on the first dynamic, oh boy, that really leaves you in the soup. What represents the first dynamic? Me. Well, you can always say immediately afterwards, well, who are you? And put down what he says. It almost gets to be a 3D crisscross action if you let it go too far. But get something in that zone. Now you say, all right, you don't say, how do you feel about ever on these types of assessments? You just say the item. It's like in flows, assessing flows. Somebody who took forever and ever and ever here, I won't mention any names, to get an item on a flows assessment. Well, the flows assessment was wrong. Must have been. Doesn't take you forever to get an item on a flows assessment. PC doesn't have any difficulty giving you items for a flows assessment, for heaven's sakes. Couldn't have. Because if you got the right flow, it's all on automatic. Who or what would enforce inflow? See? Cheese, cats, kings, coal heavers. What? I don't know what's talking. Something. Toe and arm flies around. You say, is that all? Well, no. All right, is that it? Done. Any more? Was it done? All right, that's fine. All right, now let's differentiate this list. You've got it. That's the easiest one in the world to do if you got it right. But if you were to say to somebody, now, how do you feel about, let's see, it says here, enforcing inflow on self. And how do you feel about enforcing inflow on self? Latent read. Oh, you got that one. I mean, you could do it just crazy, you know. You just say, enforce inflow on self, you know. And read it, you know. Bang, the next one. Bang, bang. Just like pre-episode. And the more rapidly you do it, the more accurate it is. The more competent you sound and look, the more accurate it is. And the more helpless and stupid you look about it, the more stupid and inaccurate the thing is going to be. Works the same way in 3D crisscross. You want to get a wrong item, take 4 days to do it. Every time. I mean, it'll be off somehow. PC's out of session. You're boxing around somehow. It just means the auditor doesn't sound positive. That's all. Long time to get the item? Incorrect prehab assessment? Incorrect dynamic assessment? Auditor doesn't sound like he knows what he's doing. Period. To that PC, doesn't sound like he knows what he's doing. That's why you find me punching you along to speed you up, because sometimes you don't notice that you have ceased to look helpless. You see, and you speed up, and you all of a sudden look competent, and you get it done, and you feel competent, and that makes you competent, you see? And so I just keep booting you in that direction without giving you much mechanics about it. I don't keep saying to you, look competent, because I tell you, that is susceptible to many interpretations. But you have to be competent in order to be fast. So you can just stress speed, and you'll eventually get an appearance of competence. So the faster you do one of these things, the more accurate it is. Now, it takes about 20 minutes to do the auxiliary prehab scale all the way down the line and find the item and nail it on the button. Not moving very fast, but not moving slowly either. That is a sort of an easy action. I mean, it still looks competent at that. It is not much of a rush. It can be done much faster than that. But if it's done any slower than that, you're in trouble. You find yourself taking 45 minutes to do an auxiliary prehab. Probably is incorrect. Same way with the dynamic assessment, same way with the secondary proposition. Now, the bark, bark, bark system of assessment is sometimes very hard to do through a scratchy needle. The needle is going bzz, 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 and PC's thinking random thoughts, and the flow terminal that you haven't found is still going off, and it's like a sparkler, and so forth. Dirty needle proposition, you know, and so on. And reading through that is very, very hard to do sometimes. But you'll find out that the dynamic assessment can still be done through it. Because it doesn't go bzz, bzz, bzz. When you hit the item, it goes bzz. And you get a prehab assessment through a dirty needle. Well, that's rough, that's all. You're looking for the change of needle pattern, that's all. You're looking for the change, whatever changed it. If the item didn't change it, it hasn't got any charge on it. It's obvious. PC is always reading at 1,000 ohms, and there it is. He's reading at 1,000 ohms, and something makes him read all of a sudden at 1,500 ohms for an instant. Well, it doesn't matter if the reading of 1,000 ohms is bzz, 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 bzz. At the moment it reads 1,500 ohms, it'll be bzz, bzz. And it'll go on saying bzz, 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 bzz again. So when you're doing these assessments, just make up your mind that's the way the needle reads and stop worrying about it and swearing at the PC and yourself because it's a dirty needle. You just say, well, that's the way his needle looks. Read it occasionally. You saw a needle pattern last night. Every time the auditor spoke, you got a 1-2 division fall. On the first session, it occurred on the first time the auditor spoke. And on the second session, it occurred on the second time the auditor spoke, which then had nothing whatsoever to do with the assessments, so you just avoided them and ignored them. You had to get something else than that before you had to read. It didn't require any judgment. It's much less difficult than you would have imagined, because after all, you were reading the item three times. And if any one of the three had fell, you left it in, and if you weren't sure, you left it in. So what judgment was involved? You know, the only time you took it out is when you were sure it wasn't reacting. You kind of occasionally made sure that it wasn't reacting by asking it a couple more times. Well, you don't have a chance to do that in a dynamic assessment or a pre-have assessment. There's no verification. See? Beyond the fact that you're going to cover the item again if it fell. So you see? So the more rapidly you do it, why, the less chance the PC has to dream up something between reads. That's about what this amounts to. It's something like soldiers getting across an open field. The slower you move across, the more likely you are to get shot. Of course, the optimum way of getting across the field is to get across in instant time. And so that would be the ideal or optimum speed at which to do a pre-have assessment. See, the faster it's done, the less trouble. You know that pervades all of auditing. You recognize that. The faster it's done, the less difficulty, less messed universe difficulty you get into while it is being done. See? So that is very true of a 3D crisscross item. If it takes you 3 days, your neck is way out, man. How many present time problems can this PC get in 3 days? How much trouble can he get into with his girlfriend in 3 days? How many arguments can he get into in 3 days? Oh, wow. Get it in one day, he didn't get a chance to get into any arguments at all. From the beginning to the end of the item, he didn't have a chance to get into a fight with anybody, to meet a bill collector, to get sued, to pick up a missed withhold. He didn't have a chance to do anything. See, except right there it was. So that's the optimum period in which to get an item. Well, the optimum period in which to get the absolute optimum in which to get a pre-have or a secondary overt scale item, of course, is in 0 seconds. Because this assessment can be interfered with by the strayings and vagaries of the fellow's mind during a session. It can be interfered with to this degree. Because if it took you 30 minutes to do the thing, he's got time to pick up some invalidations, he's got time to think some thoughts, he's got time to think his usual critical thoughts of you, the auditor. See? And if you did it in 15 minutes, he's only got half the time allowed to do this. See what I mean? Now, therefore, you just put the throttle on the floorboard and go through that one. You go real quick, and the quicker you go, of course, the more accurate it is. It's no kidding. I mean, you can frankly start with a clean needle. If you did it in an hour and a half, let's do an auxiliary pre-have assessment in an hour and a half. You can start at the beginning of the session, start at the beginning of the assessment, with a perfectly clean needle and wind up with a very dirty one if it took you an hour and a half. PC is just accumulated See, you're auditing the PC plus the messed universe. And of course, the less time there is in it, the less messed universe gets into the session. So your accuracy has everything to do with your speed where it comes to this. And the only place you get into trouble working this system in prep checking is making a bad assessment. Completely inapplicable in some way or another. So therefore, we lay down the rule that if you can't find, after you've done an a secondary, a prehab scale, overt assessment, that little section there on the secondary scale, it's devoted to overts. After you've done that, and let's say do a dynamic assessment, and after you've done that, and these two things add up, and you put it down as a test zero question, and the PC can find no overt of any kind whatsoever, why, scrap the lot, get your rudiments in, and do it again. That's for you, because the probability is your assessment is way out. But that's after you've honestly tried, and you can't get responses on the needle for any overts in that direction. Because if he's got overts on the subject, you're going to get needle responses when you ask for them. In other words, if you wind up with one of these and you've got a dead needle, there's nothing happening. He can't give you anything about it. And he doesn't understand it, and he can't get anywhere near it, and all that sort of thing. Well, scrub it. Get the rudiments in. Do it again. That's your best answer. Do both of them again. Don't use either one of them. And then you're liable to land straight up. If you're doing a 3D crisscross list on flows, and it just doesn't go all brr, brr, boom, bang, thud. And there's your list. Oh, man. You didn't get the right flow, that's all. I mean, there's no answering to that. I mean, if it didn't just, you know, PC said, I wonder what's giving you these items, you know, that kind of action. It's not going well, it's not going easily. You're having a struggle to get on with it, and it's taking quite a while, all that sort of thing. You just must have had a bad flows assessment. Well, similarly, you just have a bad overt scale assessment, and maybe a bad dynamic assessment in order to make this thing go wrong. But expect that it will occasionally. Don't worry about it if it does. Don't keep arguing at the PC for an hour and a half to find the overt when you're not even getting a knock on the needle. You found out strangling God. And the PC can't remember any time when he ever strangled God. And you get no fall on the needle on the subject. I think that you'd better leave it and get another assessment. Now, this is experimental as it goes. It's mainly experimental because you haven't done it yet. I don't. There are probably many systems which would turn up types of withholds, but this is a particularly promising one, which is pretty well set on the rock of experience. And if you can do the accuracy of it all, why, you can probably arrive with a type of overts that are really overts. You might find out that injuring cars, you don't consider this as particular, you've been at it your whole life, and never done anything to you, and you find out the reason the PC is always clearing his throat. All of a sudden, you had a helicopter, and you go, that's a car, you know. Yeah. I didn't think I was getting into that when I took that hammer to that fan blade. He's adjusting the fan, you see, and I was adjusting the... It's fantastic overts. It's a whole channel of overts. You don't consider them overts? He does. If he considers them overts, you will get TA motion. If he doesn't consider them overts, you won't. That is all there is to that. The PC very often runs along like this. And he said, oh, well, yes, this girl says, oh, I committed adultery, my first husband, second husband, seven times, and so forth, and third husband, four times, and so forth, and as a matter of fact, was a prostitute down the San Francisco docks for a little while between marriages, and so forth, and let's see now, and the specific overt you're looking for there is actually getting a man in an alley while I was pretending to be a frail girl, hitting him overhead with a blackjack, and taking all the money out of his pockets, and then the police came along and picked him up and took him to the hospital. That's the one you want. You go, I win all who, and you take that specific over, and you work that thing over, and you say, boy, I'm really getting someplace, you know, and that tonon has just been sitting here at 3.6. You say, have you told me any half-truths, untruths, tried to damage anyone? No, there isn't any motion to that. It's 3.6. Moved down here to 3.4, it's gone to 3.6, it's gone to 3.4, gone to 3.6, gone to 3.1. I don't care what good material it is for books. It's not doing a thing for the case. Do you see that? You'll get fooled this way, because every once in a while you'll buy that and you say, boy, we're really cooking with gas. You know, tonearm tells you something. And then you get onto this chain. Well, I shut off the water on the hot water tap, and I kept on turning it off, and the handle came off. One dial drop. One division tone arm change. You say, you're liable to say, well, that's so ordinary and so stupid that we don't even work that over. It's not an overt, you know, let's pick up something else. No, you've got a nice what question, you see. And you say, well, what about turning off hot water taps so they break? That's what it added up to. You got a whole chain of it. He's been at it ever since he was two. Find out he's had trouble with his kidneys and had trouble with his liver. And it's a real series of overts. And if that's the case, then your tone arm is going to be moving, man. It's going to be flying. It's going to be moving, back and forth. That's your only test. There'll probably be other systems developed as you come along the line. It all depends on what turns up. But I think we better give this one a whirl, and you better direct them in. And for my sake, and just to save my disposition, you have an interest in keeping my disposition from mild and calm, the way it always is. And just to save my disposition, why, please stop getting your big toe wet in a duck pond on prep checking. Let's find something the PC really considers an overt, and let's really plow on down the line on that, and that, you will find, is what really moves the tone arm. And if you don't find a real tone arm, now I'll give you this. But for 2, 3, 4 sessions learning a case and stumbling around on the case and so forth, you may not get much tone arm motion, you know. And so forth, and you can't really connect with anything. You don't quite know what makes this case tick. And all of a sudden swing in on it, and you all of a sudden find it, and it goes like an express train. But if you didn't learn anything enough about the PC to finally make it go like an express train, it becomes unforgivable. Okay? All right. Well, I wish you luck with this particular one, and I would invite your attention to the fact that it's an actual overt before you write the what. And it is what moves the tone arm, not what you consider antisocial or what you're particularly trying to cure in the human race, that makes it an overt to the PC. Okay? Yeah. Thank you. Good night.